This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, June 6th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at the federal food stamp program and how it's not paying as much as it has been in the past for food because of skyrocketing prices. We'll have a forecast for the weekend as well coming up from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. The Champaign County Board will vote in 2 weeks on a nearly $600,000 infusion of funds into the struggling county nursing home. But in return for the money it needs, the nursing home will have to show it's ready to cut costs and increase revenue. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
The resolution approved by the Finance Committee last night would loan the nursing home enough money to get it through the fiscal year, about $592,000. But in return, the facility must identify at least $300,000 in cost savings or new revenue by August. Committee and Nursing Home Board Member Alan Nudo says the nursing home has to show progress in reducing its deficit.
So that we can say, you know, we're not just doing another dole, another handout.
An outline of possible progress by August is not enough for Finance Committee Vice Chairman Brad Jones, who voted against the loan. Jones says he wants the nursing home to prevail, but it needs to show financial progress a lot faster.
And we're not seeing those changes right now. I mean, it's as you've seen with this county board, everything moves at a glacial pace, and they keep piling up these big bills. We don't have the money to be transferring over there anymore.
In fact, the committee heard from County Treasurer Dan Walsh, who said loaning the money to the nursing home, while perhaps necessary, would put the county's general corporate fund at a dangerously low level. He said county departments may be told to make across-the-board budget cuts this summer to keep the county solvent. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Storms that spawned at least two tornadoes in Illinois this week may also have killed at least one person in rural Coles County. Rescue crews near Humboldt pulled an unidentified body from a car in the Kaskaskia River yesterday morning. Charleston's fire chief Chris Phipps says a witness saw the car swept into the river by high water. The report indicated two people were in the car, and Phipps hasn't ruled that out. There were two tornado touchdowns in Illinois this week, one near Gridley, the other near Mackinac outside Peoria. Both of them caused little damage. Drier conditions over the past couple of days have helped bring levels down a bit on Lake Decatur. But a city official says there are still about 70 homes near the lake that either have yards submerged or have the potential to flood, with more severe weather expected today. The Sangamon River, which supplies the lake, crested on Wednesday at Monticello, meaning a few billion gallons of water were left with nowhere to go. Decatur Assistant City Manager Billy Tyer says the city is not at a point where any residents would have to be evacuated, but they do have a backup plan in place. And despite a break from the rain, Lake Decatur will be closed through the weekend, at least for recreational use. Tyus is urging people to steer clear of the lake and river as a safety precaution.
We have to lower the gates of the dam in order to release some of that water from the lake. Unfortunately, that creates a situation where the current is very strong downstream. And we especially want to encourage people to stay away from there. I know that in the past we've had some folks who like to fish in the area, but it's really not the place to be now for fishing or any other kind of activity.
Lake Decatur is a foot higher than normal, but at this time of year, the city began providing sandbags yesterday available for pickup near Nelson Park Marina. Sump pumps are supposed to keep your basement from flooding, but city officials in Urbana say some area sump pumps aren't installed properly, and that's made the situation worse for some homeowners who are affected by heavy rains. Urbana's Public Works Department inspects sump pumps at no cost. Operations Manager Jim Kelly says a lot of people don't even realize that their sump pump is put in illegally.
There's a lot of reasons a basement can flood. We'll try and help that person determine why that basement flooded, and we'll also provide them some remedies for the future.
The Public Works Department's inspections of flooded basements have helped decrease flooding due to sump pumps. Kelly says he's gotten 35 phone calls about flooded basements during the recent storms 10 years ago. He says that number would have been closer to 150. When a sump pump is hooked up incorrectly, rainwater goes into the sewer instead of to ditches, and that means sewers could flood, and a combination of sewage and rainwater would flood basements. A judge in Cook County is threatening the Illinois State Police with criminal contempt of court. He says the state police have repeatedly failed to follow orders to expunge criminal records. Stephanie Lecce reports.
In the case at hand, the court agreed to have a dismissed charge expunged from a Dalton woman's record, but state police sent her a letter saying it couldn't be removed. Judge Ronald Riley says state police have routinely disobeyed orders to expunge records. Christopher Wilmes is a staff attorney at the Legal Assistance Foundation who is working on the case.
It's not just sort of one isolated incident of, you know, one person in Markham Courthouse not getting their records expunged after they were supposed to do so. I mean, this is a systematic problem that affects many, many, many people.
A spokesman from the Illinois Attorney General's office, Scott Mulford, says he had no comment on that. He says the office is consulting with its client, the Illinois State Police. The parties will meet back in court on July 16th. I'm Stephanie Lecce.
Illinois ranks 13th in the U.S. when it comes to high school graduation rates. That's according to a new study researched and reported by Education Week. But as Mike Ree reports, there's more to the numbers.
Graduation rates are a tricky business. There are several different ways that states calculate them, and because of that, it's hard to compare results. Take Illinois. The state figures more than 87% of high schoolers graduated in 2005. But the new report puts that number at about 76%. Christopher Swanson is director of the group behind the study.
These measurement issues, although they may seem a little bit dry and arcane to some people, really tie into the accountability system in a very powerful way. It does matter how states are calculating their rates, and it matters whether they're accurate or not.
Swanson says the method Illinois uses could miscount dropouts and cause inflated graduation rates. However, the U.S. Education Secretary has advocated the method used by Illinois become the national standard. I'm Mike Ree.
For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. The rising cost of food means more than 27 million people in the United States are using some kind of government assistance to stock their kitchens. Applications for food stamps have more than doubled in some areas since last year. The Agriculture Department, which runs the food stamp program, says stamps are only supposed to supplement a family's food budget. But recipients and those who work with them say their monthly allotments aren't stretching as far as they once did. Illinois Public Radio's Diantha Parker went shopping.
Laura Diaz begins her all-day grocery marathon at about 8 a.m. when she rounds up her three daughters, aged 9, 7, and 4, to take them to school. She's unemployed right now. Diaz's husband, Jose Luis, is a machinist who works at night. Their son, who's 3, stays home with his dad during the day, along with the family's bird and 5 Chihuahua Terrier mixes.
I don't know.
Okay,
see you later. See you later. Got everything? It's
all right.
Just don't mind my mess in my van.
Diaz's navy blue 1990 Dodge van is a mess. It also costs $60 to fill the tank, but she considers that a sound investment. She can drive to where she can get the most for her food stamp dollars. She's been on stamps for about 7 years.
It's embarrassing at first. You know, I'm one who does get shy at times. But you know what? Like I says, hey, I got to do something to help the husband, and that's what I did. I applied for food stamps, and I got it.
Diaz is 40-something and tall, with short black hair, powerful arms, and an easy laugh. She wants to get a job eventually. Here's the catch. She doesn't have a high school diploma, and any job she gets wouldn't pay enough to both buy food and pay for childcare. But it would pay too much for her to stay on food stamps. The bulk of her husband's paycheck goes toward a hefty mortgage. Here's how much this family of six has to eat on for all of June. $332 in food stamps. With that in mind, Diaz heads to a warehouse-sized place called Food for Less. Her list is based on what the newspaper circulars say is on sale.
Onions, I have a garlic, I have peaches, jalapenos, and broccoli, and the barbecue sauce, and the milk, and then the rest of the things I didn't put down, but they're somewhere in my head.
She knows a gallon of whole milk costs $2.48 here, and gets 4 of them, hoping it's enough to last this week. We go home to drop off the milk, and then it's over to Cermak Grocery. She gets broccoli, bananas, chicken, and cilantro, but not everything she wanted.
It's not a good sale today. I don't know, but I guess I have meat in the freezer, so it's okay.
After every stop, she does the math. Back in the van, she looks at the receipt.
Okay, I spent $28.86. And my remaining balance is $247.54. So you imagine, the money goes quick.
so quick that the food stamps aren't enough to make it to the end of the month. So Diaz goes to the Casa Catalina food pantry, where she also volunteers. She spends a lot of time helping out there and gets everything from food to furniture when she needs it.
Okay, you found the place? More like we went to the other one.
Sister Mary McIsaac says Casa Catalina serves more than 300 families a day.
And many people come in this area that don't live here. And so we have to tell them we can only give them emergency food one day, and then they have to go to a pantry in their neighborhood.
Here at Casa Catalina, David Esparza mans a cubicle for the Illinois Hunger Coalition, where Diaz gets her stamps. He says food stamp applications have doubled since January. Esparza is seeing more layoffs, especially in seasonal professions like construction. And after an unusually cold winter, many people are still paying for last season's heat.
This one woman had an overdue bill of over $1,000. I've seen $2,000. And that's like the number one thing they tell me. It's like my bills are killing me. Like, I don't know what to do. And I think that's what they're facing.
Food stamps are one of 15 government nutrition assistance programs, and the Agriculture Department says most recipients use several of them. For instance, Laura Diaz's kids get free breakfast and lunch at school. Now Esparza says a new demographic is calling the Hunger Coalition hotline, like the 50-something man collecting unemployment for the first time.
He actually had a PhD in clinical psychology, but he couldn't find any work.
More than 27 million people use food stamps right now, but the Agriculture Department estimates that in all, more than 42 million people are eligible. The government is trying to make the program more accessible in various ways, including a database of low-cost recipes and guidelines for stretching a budget while eating healthfully. I'm Diantha Parker.
Our forecast for the next few days, including the weekend, from meteorologist Ed Kieser, includes possibility of severe weather today. In northwest and west-central Illinois, it'll be cloudy today with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere in Illinois and in northern western Indiana, a mix of clouds and sun with scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving. Sunny and no rain in southeast Indiana. Windy and humid in all sections of the two states today. Highs today will range from 84 in far northwest Illinois to 94 in far southern Indiana. 87, a forecast high in Champaign-Urbana today with a few showers and thunderstorms, and winds from the south at 20 to 35 miles an hour with higher gusts. Tonight, partly cloudy over northern Illinois, but elsewhere partly to mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Lows from 66 in northwest Illinois to 74 far south, 68 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun across the two states with scattered showers and thunderstorms. And highs from 85 in northeast Indiana to 93 in far southern Illinois, 88 in Champaign-Urbana. For tomorrow night, partly cloudy, the low 69. For Sunday, mostly sunny and hot, 91. And then another chance of showers and thunderstorms moves in for Monday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, June 6th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.